What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, where you can get real, honest opinions about films that are opening in your theaters soon, and every once in a while, an older film as well. So stay tuned. Enjoy what you're hearing. Don't forget to like us and follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. You know how all that works. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone, and Ryan. Welcome back to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. Ryan, it's been a while. We've both been busy as heck of late.
Yeah. Could you stop making news, people? Please, just stop making news.
I know, right? It's really screwing up Ryan's fun time and making him do his day job. We have managed to see some films of late, which is nice. There's a bunch of really, really big ones, you know, when we've talked about some of those. This one it's high profile in a specific market, if you will.
Sure.
For many reasons. It's a horror thriller called The Black Phone, starring Ethan Hawke and directed by Scott Derrickson, who you may remember from a bunch of other horror-type movies, and Doctor Strange. And if I recall, this is the movie he decided to make after he left Doctor Strange 2.
Yes. I think that's accurate. And Ethan Hawke came on because they'd done Sinister together.
Yeah.
He kind of been thinking about this story for a while. It's based on a Joe Hill, who is Stephen King's
kid.
Son, yep. his short story. But it's not entirely the premise is pretty much Joe Hill's story. But the setting and a lot of the character stuff is directly taken from our director's childhood, which is kind of scary because some of the most horrific stuff in the film is actually the stuff that I think that came directly from his life.
Yeah, so let's talk about that then real quick. What we've got is it's 1978, I believe.
Yeah.
And this town is being kind of plagued by the disappearances of young boys. And they're being taken and then never found, and then another child will be taken. And we follow our protagonist, Finney, played by Mason Thames. Or Thames, or whatever you'd like to pronounce it. If you're British, it would be Thames, I guess. But if you're not, it'd be something else. But him and his sister, who live with their widowed dad, who has some issues, and as a lot of widowed parents do, often have some trouble coping for lots of reasons. In this case, which we will come to, Finney is taken by the grabber. As the press calls the unknown kidnapper. And he's locked in this basement. And there's a black telephone hanging on the wall that is not connected, but rings and allows Finney to talk to previous victims of the grabber. And that's the basic setup. So you have this kind of conventional kidnapping plot with the supernatural overtones of the Black Phone. Now, again, we talked about this is Derrickson's film. He did Sinister, Exorcism of Emily Rose, Doctor Strange. So he's well-versed in the whole horror genre. This movie was written by C. Robert Cargill, who also wrote Sinister 2, and Doctor Strange. So they work well together. As writer and director. And then, of course, we get Ethan Hawke as our villain. What do you think of the conventional plot?
Well, okay. I mean, you know, the whole idea is based around this, you know, this phone. What happens if the phone rings? And so that's the genesis of this. And then they kind of build around that. I think it's interesting. I think it's very tropey. I don't know that it's like a, you know, stroke of brilliance or anything along those lines, but I think it's an effective tool. We've had lots of movies where people communicate with the past or the future or the, you know, all sorts of things like that. So it's a Hollywood thing. And, you know, obviously they're using it as a horror device here, which gives Finney the opportunity to talk to all these kind of disembodied voices, these former victims who don't even really know who they are anymore because they're just victims. And I do think it's interesting that he knew the majority of the previous children who had been abducted. And I think that's fairly important for some of the conversations he has.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's going on in this film besides just that is you have his sister who has this, not only a kind of a you know, family bond with her brother, but she also has some supernatural sort of thing where she can dream of sort of the future or the current, or, you know, she has some of that going for her, which apparently her mother had, and which really her father was really upset about.
Yeah, because she heard voices and saw things, and it kind of drove her mad.
Yes.
And she took her own life.
So rather than, you know, I mean, it's the, I want to protect my daughter, but how do I do that? By beating her until she doesn't want to hear voices anymore. Anyway, right. Finney and his sister, I forget what her name is.
Gwen.
But Gwen, yes. They, you know, have a very rough existence. But one of the things that is interesting is because it is set in 78, back in the era where many of us grew up without cell phones and without being able to be instantly tracked by our parents. And there's a lot of stuff that the kids do in this movie that current people go, oh my gosh, they're asking for it. Oh, they're just making it. And it's like, well, that's kind of how life was in 70s and 80s before cell phones.
Yeah. And the level of independence of these kids, yes. All the kids, but yeah, especially those two, single parent, dad kind of maybe works nights a little bit. He also has his issues. Yeah. So there's a lot going on in that household.
But the thing I do like about the story more than anything is that this is a film where the adults are kind of useless unless they listen to the kids. Yeah. The kids are the ones that kind of are, you know, able to you know, navigate this supernatural sort of story.
Well, and to be fair, that's kind of a big deal right now. You know, we've got Stranger Things where most of the adults are incompetent. You know, so it's not a bad way to go, I guess, no, to lean your story on that. And though, if you want to think about it another way, if Steven Spielberg had made a straight up horror movie, it probably would have taken the same approach. Because sort of, you know how Spielberg loves to have the kids be the center of attention.
Well, you could argue Poltergeist was that, but yes. But even then, Poltergeist centers most on young kids. Yeah. So yeah, entirely. Yes. I think a part of it too is there's a scene in the film where he's watching The Tingler, which is a horror film that's in black and white until you get the scene with all the blood, and then the blood is in color, and it's this kind of, I don't know if it's scary now, but I think it's provocative now, but it would have been scary when it came out in the 60s or so. And,
right.
And so this is, and that's also one that's lifted directly from Derrickson's life. And so, you know, there's homages to, I think a lot of this is because it is based on his childhood, his adolescence, that, you know, you almost have to have it be kids. Is it formulaic? Well, we see it a lot, but I think also a lot of us, our experiences with horror films start when we were kids in a way, whether it be in his case, a Tingler, or me with You know, I think the forest, I call Sleeping Beauty a horror film. I don't know, whatever you want to think, but the Night of the Living Dead, or, you know, the TV rated cuts of the Friday the 13th first film, or Halloween, or whatever. A lot of us get introduced to horror in kind of that early age. So it makes sense for a writer to kind of build in that world.
Yeah. And it's very effective. And like I said, it's instantly relatable for, again, he said it in 78. So I think the audience for this actually probably might skew slightly older. Now, maybe not all the way to my ancient age, but you know, it'll appeal to the 20 something horror fan out there, 'cause it's got Ethan Hawke and you know, he's got the pedigree for it. But it feels like a film from my childhood, and sure, probably yeah. In your childhood. So it's got that same kind of vibe to it, which I love. I love films that try for a vibe and actually get it. You know, that's why Stranger Things was so great, because as a show, it went for the vibe and it hit it. And if it hadn't, yeah. Stranger Things wouldn't be the thing that it is. Derek's in here.
No.
And if it's based on his childhood, then yeah, it's easier for him to get to it. But he still could have missed, because everyone's childhood is different from what they actually remember.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and his was based in Denver. I talked to Scott a little bit, and the feeling, he was kind of, the atmosphere was the Ted Bundy years, which, if you lived in Utah and were alive in the late 70s, early 80s, and sort of thing, Ted Bundy was this looming sort of character. I mean, even as a young child, I knew who Ted Bundy was, and it was just this atmosphere of doom. Like, there was nothing you could do. If Ted Bundy was going to take you, Ted Bundy was going to take you. And obviously he was taking young women rather than little boys, but it's that same sort of atmosphere of, you know, even if you see it coming, you might not be able to stop it.
Yeah. And that's that heightened uncertainty. You know, yeah, I mean, I grew up in small town, central Pennsylvania, and you know, there's always stories. There's the urban legends, or the boogeyman stories of, if not your town, then one town over.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. So it is. It strikes very genuine. Now, I said this is a big deal release for a certain segment, because there's a lot of other stuff out there that's got a wider appeal than this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a Blumhouse horror film.
Yeah.
It's got Ethan Hawke in it. Ethan Hawke rarely, if ever, plays villainous characters.
That is true.
It's a different, for as varied as his career has been, this is even something different to that. He refers to this as his, he kind of had the mat, his character wears masks mostly throughout the film.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like, this is his Greco-Roman, the Greek mask sort of, drama. One thing that I think that makes this different than a lot of other, horror films is that it's not as fascinated with the grabber, as it is with the kids' world. We get kind of bits and pieces of the grabber, but it's really more, he's not the central point of this. We don't get a scene where it's like him making his masks or him, you know, I mean, he's really absent for a lot of the film. Although his presence is constantly felt, but he's really off screen for a lot of this.
Yeah. So in that way, it's kind of different from, say, Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs, or, you know, countless other, James McAvoy in Split.
Yeah.
That is a lot about the victims, but they do, you know, Shyamalan is trying to hit how the villain got there. And yeah, Derrickson, he almost plays Hawk as it's almost not even a lead role. I mean, because there's that little screen time. If you broke it down, I'll bet there's not that really that much there. So relatively speaking, I mean, obviously he's there. But you're right. But he does loom as this presence, you know, much, much like, say, the Hannibal Lecter does in Silence of the Lambs, because he doesn't really have a lot of screen time. But once he's introduced, he looms over everything.
Sure. And I think, you know, a lot of horror franchises are built around their villain. That's kind of, you know, I mean, a lot of them, it's how cool is the killer, whereas this film doesn't really take that approach. Which doesn't mean you couldn't get prequels or, you know, I mean, there's still plenty of room that you could sequel this. And he could, the grabber could be the through character, but I do like the fact that it's really, they don't make any effort to try to explain why he does what he does. And I think that's a problem that we have in reality and working in news. This is something I see all the time is, well, why did they do that? Well, I don't know. And you know what, if I did and I understood, I think I'd be more terrified.
Well, I don't know what is more terrifying. Is it knowing, or is it maybe there is no reason?
Is it because they're just crazy? Is it because they just like that sort of thing? I don't know. And you can't know in the most of these cases. Why did someone do this? Well, and I don't even know if they know. You know, you. Why do people get addicted to drugs? You try it once and you like it, and you do it again, and you know, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things where trying to understand someone who's essentially evil, I don't know that that's, you always are going to get the answer you want on that. So, I don't want to relate to the killer. And there's no time to relate to him at all in this film. So it's straightforward horror in that way. But it's also, because it is so focused on the kids, there is that kind of coming of age and being in that in-between, sort of having to take on life on your own. Again, this is sort of a Stranger Things sort of thing, which is not originating with Stranger Things, but it's been around forever. But right. Yeah, so I think it's an interesting film. I don't know if it's a great film, but I think it does things that are different. I think it tries to be more than just a traditional horror film, while at the same time checking off a lot of those boxes for horror films. And so I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, and you have to check off certain boxes, or else the horror community won't, or is less inclined to kind of accept what you might be doing beyond those things. So yeah, it's not. I say it's not terribly groundbreaking creatively, but it also is. It's not something you haven't seen before, but you do get to see it in kind of a different way. Mm. So it's, and that's what you have to do. Cause I mean, otherwise you make a film that no one can relate to, or you make the same film everyone has already seen and no one cares to see that.
Yeah. And we're in a day and age where everyone's like, well, is it elevated horror? Well, no. It doesn't feel like A24, but at the same time, it's not stupid. So if there's a space between like, dumb horror and elevated horror, which I would think is, I don't know, good, decent horror. Right. That's where this is.
Yeah, definitely. You know, absolutely.
Not groundbreaking, but it's a good watch.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good watch. I had a good time catching it Friday on your recommendation. So I appreciate that.
And one thing to point out, the two kids, this is their first films. So, I mean, you know, they're not usually kids in their first films are given pretty minor roles. Sometimes they get bigger roles, but I mean, this film is really carried by the two kids in their relationship and, good for them.
The kid that plays Finney Mason, he's done some TV work. Yeah. And, Madeline McGraw, who plays Gwen, has a long filmography, But it's very short because it started on TV in 2014. But then she played, she was in American Sniper as a young girl. She was in, what do we got? Pacific Rim Uprising as a young girl. Young Hope in Ant-Man and the Wasp in 2018. So yeah, she's at least been on a movie set. If not the lead.
But I mean, sure.
So she voiced Bonnie in Toy Story 4. So
she's been an expert. No, I mean they've been around the industry.
Yes,
but they're still. I mean, to throw them into it where they're young kids carrying a story. I like that.
Well, and it is nice. But plus, this isn't like some tentpole franchise thing that they're trying to carry either. So it is still almost an indie horror. So that helps if you're going to use, you know, I don't even know the correct, less experienced younger actors. I won't say, you know, nobody actors or whatever, because that's not right. But, you know, so it's, like I said, but you're not throwing them into like a $60 million horror franchise or something. So I don't even know what the budget on this was, but it had to be a little bit because they're paying, well, not that Hawk demands ridiculous money, but, you know. But you know, Derrickson and Cargill. So, but yeah, no, I think the effects parts, and there are effects, are fairly well, not fairly, they're pretty well done, which is good. The twists are there to help you, think you know just enough to realize that you should have known what they didn't want you to know. Which a couple times I was like, oh, I knew that. It's like, why did I not know that? Or I know I knew that. So it's well put together. I think people do need to, if you're a horror fan, it's definitely worth seeing if you didn't go out and see it opening weekend. I don't know where it fell in the box office this time, but we'll have to check those numbers. But no, it's unfortunately Maverick is still making a ton of money and eating up screens. So but yeah, no, if you need something other than that, definitely give this one a whirl. It's well worth your investment to see something that's, you know, it's smart, it's not insulting, and it's well put together, and it's done by people that know the genre and like the genre, and that is, again, you can't overstate how important that is to a genre film. You know, you don't want someone that doesn't like sci-fi or horror directing your sci-fi or horror. That just doesn't work.
It looks like it came in fourth with 23.
Fourth at 23? I don't care what position it came in. If it made 23, that's a great opening.
Yep, 23. Just right behind Top Gun was at 30. Elvis was at 30. So Jurassic World was 26, and Black Phone was 23.
Yep. So there you go. That's a solid fourth place up against those other three, given their box office appeal.
Yeah.
We've talked about the quality of various of those films, but their box office appeal, that's a really, really great opening for this film. And I hope if you didn't see it on opening weekend, give it a go this week or over next holiday weekend if you need to go see a movie. Because nothing says 4th of July like a kidnapping and horror movie. That might not be right, but it feels wrong. So, but yeah, definitely check it out. Ooh, excuse me. So yeah, Ethan Hawke is our villain, which is great. Scott Derrickson is in horror solidly. I'm wondering now what he actually would have done with Doctor Strange 2. Because he still his story fingerprints are still credited to Doctor Strange 2. As is Cargill. So it's interesting. And which I rewatched last night, by the way, Doctor Strange 2.
And to be perfectly clear on this, it would be a question I'd like to ask. Was not a question they wanted us to ask, so I didn't ask that.
Good call.
If I had, you know, 10 minutes with him rather than four,
right?
Okay, then I can go there. But just kind of out of courtesy to the studio who let me talk to him, let's talk about the movie they had me talk to him about. So,
oh yeah, that's a completely different argument. So yeah. I totally get it. So cool. We've got a couple of screenings coming up this week for movies that people are going to want to see. Two more big ones, which might keep this one from Well, if word of mouth keeps up, I think it'll do okay. It'll hang on. I don't think it's ever going to win the box office, especially not with what's coming out. But I think it could stay top five or six for a few weeks. I think it could do that. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So, but yes. But until we get back to those, don't forget to like us, follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. You know how that works. Share us with people. Tell us what you think. Let us know if we missed a movie. Let us know if you think we're wrong about a movie, because then we'll tell you why we're right. Maybe, or maybe you'll convince us we were wrong. I don't know.
Depends on how. Or we'll just agree to disagree.
Or we may agree to disagree. But I guess we'll play that by ear. Until we come back with those more bigger, better tentpole type films that are actually coming out this week, or we're screening this week, stay safe, be good. I'm Mark. That is Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
You guys.
And we will talk to y'all later.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.